Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves win over the Golden State Warriors. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm joined by Marty Gellner from Bally Sports North. We're going to break down the Timberwolves' overtime win over the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday. And Marty, this was another incredibly fun game played by the Wolves. Minnesota was down by 14 early in the fourth quarter and then staged a really quick comeback. It was like a 10-0 run or something like that to make the game close down the stretch. And then ultimately, they won the game in overtime. And there's a ton to unpack here, but I mean, this was just a really solid win.
Oh man, it was an awesome win. It was a full night at Target Center. People tend to come out to see the Warriors. I get it. I understand why. But they were there to cheer for the Timberwolves, and there was that lull in the third quarter, and then bang, explosion in the fourth quarter. D'Lo had the big quarter. It was just a tremendous night. A really, really good, solid win for the Wolves.
Yeah, and there's a lot of places we could start. I think we could start with just kind of fourth quarter and overtime. The Timberwolves were down 14 early in the fourth. Anthony Edwards was off the floor for the Wolves. He came out in the final minute of the third quarter taking a rest. Wolves were down 11 to start the fourth. It became a 14-point deficit early in the fourth quarter, and we should also mention Rudy Gobert did not play, was out with the groin injury, so Naz Reid started. The Wolves are down 14, and then they go on a 23-11 run with Ant on the bench, and this is mostly D'Angelo Russell, a little bit of Naz Reid. I think Rivers hit a three to kind of kick it off, and then D'Lo scored 14 straight himself. He went three-pointer, two-pointer, and then three straight three-pointers for 14 points for the Wolves. Then Naz hits another shot that gave the Wolves the lead. And then after a Golden State timeout, the Wolves cooled off a little. Ant came back in and played a big part of the win down the stretch. But this was a really big stretch. Early fourth quarter, it was really all D'Angelo Russell and Naz Reid that kind of initiated that run for the Wolves.
Yeah, it was. Watching D'Angelo Russell when he is locked in is really something to see. He had that 14-point stretch, like you mentioned, Ben. That was it for the entire second half, and they came in an absolute flurry. His quarter scores went 7 in the first, 8 in the second, none in the third, 14 in the fourth. And they came all in a row, 14 straight points for the Timberwolves. And I know he can be hot and cold, and I know people get frustrated with him, and I totally understand that, but I don't know how you could argue with the fact that when he is on, when he is feeling it, when he is in a rhythm, it is something to see. And even when the Warriors had a hand in his face or had a guy up on him from three, when he was in that stretch, man, D'Lo was just, he was incredible. And then that was it. He had the 14, he absolutely exploded, and then that was it. He ended up falling out in overtime, but no points after that, not in the rest of the fourth, not in overtime, but it was like he had given them enough. He had to get him over the hump. He had to get him rolling when Anthony Edwards was on the bench, and he did, and that was it. That was enough.
Yeah, and D'Lo was absolutely hunting his shot tonight, and again, he got hot. It was okay. They needed him to do that, down double digits in the fourth quarter, with no Ant on the floor and no Rudy Gobert at all in this game for the Wolves. He only had two assists on the night, D'Lo did. 17 of his 23 shot attempts were threes. So he was 4 of 6 on 2-point attempts, 7 of 17 on 3-point attempts. And I mean, D'Lo, yeah, he shoots threes. He has kind of limitless range, but he's not typically this much of a volume 3-point shooter. And it was really interesting to see that kind of take shape. And I mean, like you said, when he gets hot though, there aren't too many players, even in the league, that when they get hot can just get their shot off from anywhere and seemingly make anything and everything. We should also talk about Naz Reid. He had the biggest play of the game to really seal the game in overtime, but yeah, he hit a big three-pointer late in regulation, was active on the glass. It kind of turned into like this weird late. I mean, clearly the Warriors were comfortable. I'm sure they didn't want to leave Naz as open as they did, as frequently as they did, but they were okay with Naz Reid shooting open threes the way they were playing defense. And it became a little bit of a Naz Reid shooting gallery late fourth quarter, early overtime, and he hit the big three. Then he missed a few shots in a row, and then he at the end of the game, Anthony Edwards, and I want to talk more about Ant's decision-making and his play late in the game too, but Ant passes him the ball. Nas misses the three in the left corner with the Wolves up two, but follows his shot, gets the rebound, gets the massive dunk to seal the game. Nas was huge in this game with no Rudy. And, you know, we've seen this last few games, and this was actually Monday's loss to Sacramento was a good example of this, where it was a lot of Ant, a lot of D'Lo, and nobody else really came to the party. And Nas absolutely came to the party in this one.
He was fantastic. And I'll tell you what, I have known Nas since he joined the Timberwolves as a rookie. And you just, I mean, he'll be the first to tell you he was not NBA ready when he joined. He needed to kind of reshape his body. He needed to work on his moves. And the growth that that man has made in his time in the NBA to where he is now, his skill level, that is incredible. And he is such an easy guy to root for. He is a hard worker, good teammate, good in the locker room, friendly human being. I am a huge fan of Naz Reid. And when he has games like this, oh my gosh, it is like tenfold. The excitement level and the fans grab onto him too. I think you love an underdog kind of story. And Nas was kind of that when he came into the league. That dunk he had at the end, yeah, just the emphatic way he threw it down at that time. And for it to seal the game, it was just like, you talk about an exclamation point on a game. That was an exclamation point. And how about this man's handle? When he does that in and out move, and took it at Draymond a couple of times, like, there is no fear in this guy. I thought Naz Reid had a tremendous game, and I was thrilled for him.
Yeah, he finished with 24 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 10 of 22 from the floor, and like you said, went right at Draymond Green. I thought good decision making. Only had one turnover, which was really good to see. This was a good all-around game from Naz Reid. Let's talk about our title sponsors of the show. That's our friends over at FanDuel. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sportsbook in America. If you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back and bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Let's also talk about Anthony Edwards. I mean, Ant... the numbers, like, yeah, he still scored 27, but he shot just 2 of 11 from 3. He only got to the line 6 times. He turned it over 6 times. So the numbers aren't as eye-popping. And if you didn't watch the game, you'd look at the box score and you'd say, okay, he had the second worst plus-minus on the team. He was the only starter not in positive territory in terms of individual plus-minus. But I thought he played really well down the stretch. And for as much as there were some questionable shot selection at times during the game, a couple of missed shots late, you look at the last like three possessions of overtime, the Wolves were only up by a point. Ant comes down, hits a tough jumper. Then he hits an impossible layup through what was basically a triple team. The Warriors were trying to trap him at the top of the circle. And Ant got into the paint, made a tough shot. And then on the final Wolves possession, up only three with the crowd going crazy, Ant has a chance for a dagger. And he makes the right play, passes it to Nas in the corner. And it ended up working out. He didn't get the assist. Nas missed the shot, but he got his own rebound, got the putback dunk. The Wolves win the game. I thought Ant closed this game extremely well for a game that otherwise wasn't a super loud Anthony Edwards performance.
No, it really wasn't. And he, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a struggle. That's not really the right word. But sometimes the game and the shots and the points seem to come so easily. And he just seems to be gliding around and bouncing all over the place and barely breaking a sweat. Well, he was sweating tonight. He was for sure sweating because the Warriors made him work. They were coming at him and they were trying to get the ball out of his hands. And he was clearly high on the scouting report, which is going to be pretty regular for Anthony Edwards and probably has been over the last month or so. But, for him to still be able to impact the game the way he did in the biggest moments, the overtime, I mean, that says a lot about Anthony Edwards to be able to make the biggest shot at the biggest time on the biggest stage. He made a couple of them. I think he just had the 4 points in overtime.
Yeah.
But they were outside of Nas's putback dunk, or putback offensive rebound and dunk. Those were the biggest baskets of the game. And they went to Anthony Edwards. So no matter how he got there, no matter how much he struggled, especially from deep in a game like this, he still manages to give you more than 25 points. He still manages to give you two really big baskets and a couple of nice assists. You know, like just figuring out a way, sometimes it's a different way every night, to be a productive player. And I thought this was one of those games where it did not come easy, but Ant still found a way to make a big impact, to make a positive impact in the end.
Yeah, and I think it's just really clear growth from Ant. And we saw that over the course of the year last year. We saw that, you know, even if he started this year, maybe not what we saw at the end of last season, but I think the progression is pretty similar to what we saw throughout last year, and where he's at, you know, right now, these past, call it 2 or 3 weeks, is every bit as good as he was playing late last season and into the playoffs. So to see him back at that level, and now we can see if that next incremental levels up even further. But this was a good example, like you said, of, you know, this wasn't his best game, but he had some really good moments and mostly stayed within himself and you know, made the right decisions down the stretch. We should mention this game didn't get off to the best start, especially defensively for the Wolves. They gave up 34 points in the first quarter, 37 in the second quarter. And for, you know, the Golden State plays at the fastest pace in the league, so there were going to be a lot of possessions. Golden State sloppy with the ball. The Wolves needed to win the turnover battle, and they did. Weirdly, Golden State scored 24 points off just 11 Timberwolves turnovers, which is partly because Golden State plays so fast and they're just getting the ball and going back the other way and trying to, you know, jack up a shot. So for the most, but like this game, Curry was nuts in the first quarter. He played on, you know, I mean, it's Steph Curry. So he played like what you'd expect from Steph Curry, but cooled off a little as the game went on. I thought Jaden McDaniels did a good job at guarding him. And the Wolves ended up defending the 3-point line pretty well in this game. They held Golden State to just 31% on 3-point shooting. And Curry, I believe he made 3 or 4 of his 5 threes in the first quarter. And, you know, they struggled a little bit to contain the ball late in the game. But I think for the most part, defensively, you have to be happy with how they responded, especially in the second half.
I thought it was the tale of two halves for Steph Curry. He had 5 threes at halftime and he had 21 points. He did not make a 3-pointer in the second half. And that includes overtime. He missed a couple. He was defended well. He missed that mid-range jump shot that would have won the game, or at least put the Warriors up with about 3.5-4 seconds left on the game clock. But he missed it and the game went to overtime. And whether it was the Timberwolves defense against Steph or him just kind of cooling off or a combination of the two, it had all the makings of being one of those giant Steph Curry nights, and it completely fizzled in the second half. And the Wolves had control of him and as a result won the game because Steph Curry did not Steph Curry them in the second half, not at all. He had, 8 points in the second half, 7 points, 8 points in the second half. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, a couple other things just to mention to keep an eye on here moving forward, because this is now the second straight game. Well, defending without fouling has been an issue all season for the Wolves. It really wasn't this game. Golden State, believe it or not, is actually, and maybe this isn't that big of a surprise, they're actually last in the league in free throw rate. They attempt the least amount of free throws based on how many possessions they use per game and how many shots they get up. But they shot 34 free throws in this game. And the Wolves actually are, it feels like they should be worse than this. The Wolves are 20th in terms of opponent free throw rate, allowing opponents to shoot free throws. But they allowed Golden State to shoot 34 free throws, and the Wolves needed to be competitive in that category in this game. And they weren't, because the Wolves only shot 24 free throws themselves, which actually isn't that bad of a number, but they only made 13 of them. So for a second straight game, the Wolves hovered around 50% from the line. So they were actually a minus 14 in terms of made free throws in this game. And so it's a wonder that this game was as close as it was. And a lot of that's because the Wolves jacked up 53 pointers and, you know, held their own in a lot of other areas. But something to keep an eye on is, can the Wolves learn to defend without fouling, which I feel like we said all last year as well. And then also free throw shooting, which is just a weird thing to just like all of a sudden, but two consecutive games where you're around 50%. That's something to keep an eye on too, moving forward, as the schedule doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, that's the Sacramento game that the Wolves lost in overtime. And then, yeah, this one. I mean, that very uncharacteristic, but both games went to overtime, which tells you how close they are. So when you need a separator in a game like that and you shoot in the 50s 50%-ish range from free throws, I mean, that is something that just, it cannot happen. If you expect to be taken seriously and you want to be a legit playoff team, that is something that the Wolves need to get a handle on right now. Because this schedule, they play Orlando on Friday, and that's kind of a breather because it is a gauntlet from here on out. And Chris Finch was talking about this before the game, about when the Wolves hit the All-Star break, which is still 2 weeks away, when they hit the All-Star break, they will have played 61 games. And Finch said he can't remember having played 61 games in his time in the NBA as an assistant coach or Wolves head coach. So that, I mean, that just tells you that on the other side of the break, I mean, it is a fast and furious sprint to the finish. So you can't be doing things like missing a ton of free throws, especially in close games when you still have ground to make up and you cannot afford to give away any other game. So the Wolves got to get a handle on that before we hit the break. Like right now, next game, clean that up.
Yeah, and we've talked now for several weeks about how the Wolves tend to play to competition. We've seen that over this stretch, you know, beating some good teams, Memphis, New Orleans, now Golden State. They beat Sacramento one out of two times, but then stooping to competition when it comes to, you know, the Houstons and the Detroits. And, you know, hopefully we don't see that on Friday against Orlando, because then you've got, you know, home and home against Denver. You got Utah, Memphis, Dallas upcoming on the schedule. So important to get that W on Friday. We'll, of course, go live about 45 minutes or so following the final horn on Friday's game, just like we always do at the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. So make sure to subscribe to Locked On Sports Minnesota on YouTube to be notified when we go live. You can also listen if you miss it live. You can listen to it on the Locked On Wolves channels. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find Locked On Wolves. We post the audio from this live recording over there as well. So be sure to check that out. A big thank you for watching. A big thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time.